It is the morning show. I'm Kay Darcher Kent. Now, the CDC is closely tracking cases of monkeypox recently detected in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's case count map, it shows more than 1,400 cases of monkeypox nationwide. That's this morning, reported in 42 states, including Wisconsin. Joining on this rare disease caused by infection with the monkeypox virus, 800-642-1234. Michael Osterholm is here, professor and director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. He's an international leader in the field of epidemiology. Michael Osterholm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be back with you.
What makes monkeypox a concern for public health officials versus other infectious diseases circulating in the community?
Well, first of all, it is clearly a new type of disease for the world. This has been a virus that has existed dating back to probably the earliest human history in Africa, in at least 11 countries there. It's a virus that is a relative to the old smallpox virus, which now has been eradicated or no longer on the face of the earth in a naturally occurring way. And the reason monkeypox was not eradicated was because it actually has an animal reservoir, meaning that in those Central African countries, it actually is also infecting rodents. And what's happened is really kind of a story right out of history, is that the smallpox eradication program, the effort to eliminate smallpox from the world, meant that we vaccinated people against smallpox up until the 1980s worldwide. And with that vaccination, not only did you get protection against smallpox, but also against monkeypox. Mm. Now, fast forward almost 40 years, and we have not used a smallpox vaccine in Central Africa, and you have over 327 million people who weren't born in 1980 who now live in those countries. They, in turn, have gotten infected from contact with these animals, and that, in turn, then led to this epidemic we see now worldwide, in which it's now gotten into men who have sex with men, who have many partners, a number of them anonymous, and that has resulted in a type of transmission that we had not seen before.
Does it spread as easily as COVID-19? Can you give us any comparisons of what we know?
Yeah. not even close.
Okay.
COVID-19 is spread via the air and highly infectious. This virus so far has largely been what we would consider to be a sexually transmitted infection. Clearly, contact can result in transmission. So think of it like the other ulcerative diseases we think of with sexually transmitted infections, syphilis, chancroid, herpes, those kinds of illnesses where you actually get in contact with the vesicle or the open lesion, and that's what transmits the virus. And so far, that appears to be very much the case with what we're seeing here. The challenge we have is we actually have an effective vaccine that can be used today against monkeypox. It's just we have very little of it. And so the ability to get vaccine to all those that should have it is going to be a real challenge over the months ahead, and it's going to lead to a lot of frustration. There are a lot of people who will want to be vaccinated who won't be able to get vaccinated just because even making the vaccine as quickly as we possibly can, it will not be quick enough.
How does monkeypox affect people? What are symptoms like?
Well, the good news also is that it has largely been a relatively mild illness with these vesicles you see on people or like little blisters. And they've most often occurred in areas of the body where there has been contact, what we call the perianal region, the genital region. Some of the lesions have been across the entire body. But these people in general have not been that sick. We've had 3 deaths so far in all the cases we're aware of outside of Africa. It is surely a potential challenge for those who are immune compromised. And as you know, the overlap with HIV infection and men who have sex with men is a real concern. Now, fortunately, many of these people are already on HIV-related drugs to help them from becoming seriously ill with HIV, which means that they still have some good protection against monkeypox. So on a whole, the good news is that this is not nearly as infectious as COVID. It's not nearly as deadly as COVID or as HIV. And so what we're really trying to do is deal with an outbreak that we don't want it to spread further. We don't want to have those cases that do occur occasionally that could be severe illness.
As you look at the CDC maps, the U.S., the world, do you see hotspots? What are you seeing there?
You know, this virus is just going to transmit around the world, much as we saw in the early days of HIV. Again, it's not because of HIV, but it's when you have individuals who are having a number of anonymous sex partners, multiple partners, new partners, that leads to the transmission of the virus and the spread around the world. And for many sexually transmitted infections, you're able to actually track down in the context of an individual who might have had that particular infection and then treat them accordingly. Well, unfortunately, a number of the individuals in the earliest days of the monkeypox transmission didn't know who their contacts were. They were anonymous. And so, again, we're really left with trying to get the message out as much as we can to men who have sex with men in particular. Now, we're going to start to see spillover. I don't want to leave you with the idea that this is going to be exclusively an illness of men who have sex with men. We've already seen cases where we have bisexual men who are having sex with women, who in turn they get infected. So this is going to, in a sense, leak out of that environment of men having sex with men. But it's not going to be widespread. It's not going to be a challenge. And for example, men who have sex with men who are in committed part relationships or are not having multiple partners really have no greater risk than does a heterosexual for contracting this infection.
There are concerns in the LGBTQ plus community that a disease that's primarily striking gay and bisexual men could lead to the same kind of blame and stigma that we have seen in the past with HIV and AIDS. What do you think of that stigma?
Well, I think that's actually a very important point and one that we can't ignore. On the other hand, as public health experts, our job is to tell people exactly who's at risk, what puts them at risk, and what they can do to reduce that risk. And so not directly and very specifically laying out the information we know about who's at risk and what they can do to reduce that risk means we're not doing our job. And so we have to be mindful at all times about the stigmatization. I understand that. I was very involved with the earliest days of HIV/AIDS. I saw it front and center. I experienced it front and center in our communities. But at the same time, ignoring or not elaborating on what you can do to protect yourself against this particular virus is public health not doing its job.
Veteran epidemiologist Michael Osterholm with us at the University of Minnesota, fielding questions about monkeypox and what public health leaders are watching for and planning for. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show with Michael Osterholm here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The journal Science posed this question recently about monkeypox. Why is a virus that has never managed to spread beyond a few cases outside Africa suddenly causing such a big global outbreak? Global confirmed cases, CDC's map showing over 11,000 cases now. We're getting up to speed with a longtime epidemiologist. Join in on the monkeypox outbreak, the spread, the risk of stigma, 800-642-1234. Michael Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, stays with us. So you mentioned if we have this limited vaccine supply in the world, who would be eligible then to get a monkeypox vaccine?
Well, first of all, Kate, it is going to be a very difficult situation in the weeks and months ahead just because of the shortage of the vaccine. First of all, take a step back and just remember why we even have the vaccine at all. It largely was from the year 2000 until recently a stockpile of vaccines should someone ever use smallpox. And of course, that concern was actually raised with Ukraine and the fact that the Russians and the United States still have stocks of smallpox virus. So there was always attention paid to the fact that we needed to keep vaccine around just in case this horrible, horrible scenario should unfold of someone using smallpox. But then in addition, we kind of forgot about the historic nature of monkeypox. And what I mean by that is that we've known for years that eventually the population-based protection against monkeypox would wear off, in that we would have many, many people born since we stopped using smallpox vaccine, which again, as I mentioned before, does protect also against monkeypox, and that you would have this very susceptible population. So think about this. In the last 40 years, more than 327 million people have been born, now reside in those 11 countries in Central Africa where this virus, unlike smallpox, which was only in humans, this virus is also in certain animal species. So the spillovers from animals to humans just continued to grow in number. And in fact, in 2003, we had a spillover that involved people right here in southern Wisconsin, where we actually had animals that were brought in for sale in pet stores from Africa, that gerbils, a type of rodent, that actually were in a large animal shipping warehouse where they then had relative contact to prairie dogs that were also being sold in pet stores. And the prairie dogs got infected from the gerbils and the other animals brought in. And we had an epidemic of monkeypox in a very famous case in Rockford, Illinois, of a young woman who was hospitalized there. And so this is not new, but what's happening now is the world has not had any vaccine against smallpox, so the whole world's vulnerable. So once it started spreading out of Central Africa, it quickly went into a world that for the last 40 years has had virtually no protection afforded to it against monkeypox by vaccination.
So if the country's monkeypox outbreak expands, do you see that hospitals, other clinics, clinicians have access to enough tests and other tools to help contain the spread?
I don't, and that's my concern. Actually, you mentioned in the lead in about an article in Science on this issue. Mm-hmm. I actually have an editorial coming out in Science in the next day or two on this very issue, in which I lay out the challenges and the fact that we are going to continue to see spread because we don't have enough vaccine. And so our first and most important message is going to be we have got to educate that at-risk community to say, you know, you need to know that you are at risk for monkeypox. And when you asked me the other question earlier about stigmatizing gay men, you know, how are we accomplishing both? Letting, you know, the gay community know what are the risk factors for this virus to spread and occasionally leak out from even the gay community, and specifically among those who are having these higher risk exposures. Remember, not all gay men are having that. So I want to be really clear about that. But we've got to help that group understand if you wear condoms, you don't have contact with someone who is has these vesicles on them, that will help a lot. But in the meantime, we're going to have to try to use the vaccine the best we can. And I will predict right now there will be major frustrations. There will be anger in the gay community because of their inability to get the vaccine. Why do we not have more? Because no one ever really anticipated this kind of event happening where we'd have to vaccinate lots and lots of people against monkeypox. Should we have anticipated? Absolutely, we should have. We knew for the last 40 years that eventually we would see more spillovers from Africa just by the nature of the growing population who are at risk. I think the final piece is we have got to now reinitiate a major campaign in Central Africa to help vaccinate these 327 million people, or we're going to keep seeing these spillover events. So literally monkeypox vaccination should become a part of the everyday vaccine picture that young kids in Central Africa have the opportunity to be vaccinated with.
Before we move on to the new dominant Omicron strain, I'm just going to reintroduce you here, Michael Osterholm, Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Just a little briefly here, BA5 driving up cases and reinfections, what are you seeing?
Well, as I've shared with you before, Kate, on this very show, you know, this virus just continues to throw 210-mile-an-hour curveballs at us. You know, who would have imagined when Omicron first emerged last December that it would not just be that variant, as we'd seen before with Alpha and Beta and Gamma and Delta, all variants, but now we're talking about subvariants. And what we're now talking about is BA1, BA2, BA2.12. I mean, we now have BA4, BA5. And these subvariants are presenting real challenge. For example, even those who are infected with BA1 in December and January are now vulnerable to BA5 because of the immune evasion of that particular strain of the virus now means that the protection you might have had from your immune system's response to the original infection isn't working sufficiently to keep you from getting infected. So I think the challenge we have right now is, what will BA5 do? How much immune evasion? If you've had 4 doses of vaccine, does it mean you'll still get infected? Well, it does. Right now we're seeing lots of infections in people who even had 4 doses. But the good news is it surely appears at this point that it's reducing the likelihood of having severe illness. So that's why, you know, I still am very strongly supportive of being fully vaccinated. It's just you have to expect the fact that it doesn't mean it's going to stop transmission.
There are reports that more people are contracting the virus multiple times in relatively like quick succession. What could that indicate?
Well, this is all about the immune evasion of this virus. Every time it mutates, it changes in a way that the previous exposure to either vaccine or to the natural infection itself before meant that the immunity that you had as a result of that is not sufficient to cover these new mutations that are changing with this virus. Mm. And that's a real challenge. Now, the unknown that is really a concern is, so what does that mean? Well, if you look at countries like South Africa, where they saw an initial BA1, the original Omicron strain, emerge, and then they saw BA5 emerge, they only saw limited increase in number of new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Now, there may be other reasons for this, but if you look at countries like Portugal, where they have a number of people vaccinated that exceeds anything we've done in this country, and they actually saw BA5 create a peak in cases, both serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, equal to their original Omicron surge that they saw late last winter. Mm. And so one of the challenges we have right now is trying to anticipate what's going to happen. You know, we're at about 430 to 450 deaths a day now in this country, which, you know, is 3,000 plus deaths every week. Is that going to continue to grow? Will we get to the point of several thousand deaths a day, as we've seen with the peak activity with Omicron and Delta? We don't know. At this point, all I can say is that we, as scientists, have to be honest with the public and say what we know and what we don't know. And yeah, I got to tell you, we don't know what BA5 is ultimately going to do. And then on top of that, I don't know what's next. Is it BA7? Is it BA8? Is it Pi or Sigma, brand new variants? And this is the challenge of COVID. We as a society are done with COVID. We're done. Mm. But the virus isn't done with us.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Osterholm, professor and director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.